I'm gonna tell you a story now. But as any good storyteller knows, one must first be sure the audience is prepared. Is everybody comfortably seated? Does anyone need to use the bathroom? Oh, you, sir, in the back? Well, hold it in.
Now, where to begin? How about once upon a time?
How many times have you heard that to begin a story? Let's do something else. I got it.
Oh, no, not the book. How many have seen opening the book before? Close the book. We're not doing that.
Okay, let's get this over with. Three little kittens loved to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Then their mother came out and said, "Time for kittens to go to bed." Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Keep reading. Come on.
All right.
Grandpa, maybe you could come over and read it again to me tomorrow.
As you wish.
The end.
We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week 3 of a series we've entitled Stories, and in this series, we're looking at the fictional short stories that Jesus told while he was on this planet, and the purpose of these stories, which are known as parables, were to help us to understand what the kingdom of God is like and what God was like and how we can relate to him better. Now, today, in this message, we're looking to both ask and answer this question. What did I expect to happen when I came here today? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app on it and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We encourage you to have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone and to look it up with us, even though the word's going to be up on the screen in just a few moments. But this helps you to see where is this passage found in the Bible, and your phone's going to save that spot there later. So we encourage you to read all around the passage. This helps put a passage into context. Now, we highly encourage you to do that after service, not during service, though. When you came in today, though, you should receive some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers will be up on the screen as we go. And this is designed to help you stay engaged, to give you some reference to know where to find us again, as well as to know how long is this guy going to be talking for today, because when I get down to the bottom, I will be done. I'd like to say hi to those people who are watching online. We're so thankful that you are watching with us. Happy Father's Day. And we want to know who is watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now, would you write in the comments below who you are, your name, maybe where you're watching from, and our host will be happy to greet you. So Mark chapter 4, let me explain what's happening here. So Jesus is in the middle of his ministry, and crowds seem to gather, and he begins talking to crowds. And on this particular time, he's talking to them on the side of a lake shore. Well, as you can imagine, he kind of gets up against the water, and the crowd's all there on the beach, and he needs a little bit of distance so he can see everybody, so everyone can hear him. And so he has this idea. Let me get into a boat that's anchored in the water just a little farther back, and now everyone can see and hear me. And so this is what Jesus is doing. And he decided as he was talking to the people, to the crowd that day, that he would share a story. We're picking up in verse chapter 3, and it says this. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun since it didn't have deep roots. It died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as what had been planted. Then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Let's pray. God, I pray as we unpack your word for us today that you would help us, that you would challenge us, and you would change us. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Now, for this series, we've been having some different speakers, and we'll continue to have some different speakers and hear from some other voices that are part of our team. So far, last week, we had Pastor Aubrey, a Connection pastor, and last night, I was not here. Pastor Hope spoke, and I was performing a wedding for someone in the church. And we'll hear from other speakers as we go through this, but let me just tell you, getting up and speaking in front of people is hard. Let me just break it down for just how hard it is. Well, first of all, every single time we get up, the person who is speaking has to actually first write a college-level paper on a really old book that's been around and been a bestseller forever that everyone has an opinion on. And they need to not only write this college-level paper, they need to get an A on it. They need to do well. It needs to have a beginning, an end, a point. But not only that, the person getting up to speak has to make an oral presentation on this paper. And the oral presentation involves the worst fear known to mankind, public speaking. And not only that, you need to get an A on it, that you actually have to do it in such a way that people actually hear it, that they don't fall asleep or walk out on you, that they show up. And so, when a speaker gets done, they're often wondering, how did I do? Was it okay? Did anyone hear what I had to say? Did I get my point across? Did it work? You know, speakers need your feedback. Now, many of you, you do a great job for when I speak, and I hope you do this to other people who speak as well. And they'll say, "Great job, Pastor. That message was awesome. I didn't sleep at all today." You know, you encourage me greatly on this. But every time someone tells me that that was a great message, I always reply the same way. I'll first say, "Thank you." And then I'll say, "Well, I had good source material." The Bible, right? Okay. Well, anyways, but you know what a speaker does expect? They expect you to listen to what was said and to do it. And that's where Jesus was exactly in this passage in Mark chapter 4. He's speaking to a big crowd. He's telling a story. And at the very end, what does he say? He says, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Now, wait a second. Ears. How many people here have ears? That's like everyone, right? I even saw some hands online. Yep, everyone has ears. And I think everyone who was listening to Jesus that day had ears. So what he's really saying is like, okay, everyone understand. If you have ears, listen and understand. However, the disciples, afterwards, they're like, Jesus, we all have ears. We all listened, but we do not understand why you keep telling us these stories. What does it all mean? And so we find that in the next part of Mark chapter 4, Jesus is explaining why he tells stories or parables. But then he goes on into the meaning of this story, the farmer who is scattering seed. And when Jesus told them, explained to them the story of this, he first told them that in this story of the farmer, that the seed is God's word. And it's interesting if we pay attention to where is he scattering the seed, because he's telling a story about this farmer with seed who is planting, but he's like the worst farmer ever because he is aiming seed with the aim of a stormtrooper. I mean, maybe even worse, because he starts throwing seed out there wherever it goes. If it lands on the footpath, on the rocky soil, if it lands in the thorn-infested area, if it lands on good soil. I mean, he's only like getting one out of four shots hit. And you'd think seed would be expensive, that you would carefully plant seed. But in this story, Jesus is saying, nope, I got a stormtrooper for a farmer, and we're just spray and pray. Hope you hit something. But when he's explaining it to the disciples, he's saying that the seed represents God's word, that it goes to everyone, everywhere. It's out there. Okay? But Jesus went on to explain that there are four types of people who hear God's word. Four types. Now, as human beings, we like to figure out ourselves. I mean, God fearfully and wonderfully made us, and if you spend any time with any other human beings, especially if you live with them, you discover that we are not the same. We are different. And so a lot of us, we go into looking at personalities to see how personalities are different. There's even tests that you can take, like a Myers-Briggs or an Enneagram, just to discover how am I made and how can I interact with others. Matter of fact, here in this room, who here has ever taken a personality test? Personality test. Okay, you found out, you know, what four letters you are, what number you are, what color you are, maybe even like if you're a lion or a golden retriever. I mean, whatever test you took, many of you have taken a test, and we like to understand ourselves, but it's even more helpful to be able to understand how a team works. We do this with our team here at Focus Church, that we know what personality types each person is. It helps us understand each other. It helps us make decisions. It helps us get along with each other. And we actually have a very balanced group of people that kind of represents all the different personality types. But when we were looking earlier this year for a youth pastor, we knew internally that there was a major personality type we did not have on our team. And we're like, well, we'll know it's the right person when they have this as their personality type. And so as part of the process, they told us what their personality type, and sure enough, Pastor Ryan Elliott, he passed the internal test. He's the exact personality type we were looking for, which is really cool that that works out that way. Now, some of you, when I'm talking about this, you're like geeking out. You're like, this is so cool. Wow, I didn't know they're into the numbers. Like, what one are you? Which wing are you? And if you know, you know. And some of you are like, it's garbage, Pastor. Why are you even talking about this? We're supposed to talk about the Bible. And some of you are like, I don't know about those types and tests and everything because I'm a unique person. Nobody tells me what I do. I make my own decisions. I can't be categorized. There's no figuring out this. And yet, Jesus is saying that, yep, if you hear God's word, which is what we're doing right now, so that means everyone in this room is hearing. Everyone who's watching online, you are hearing God's word right now. That everyone who hears God's word falls into one of four types. You have been categorized. Let's find out about these categories. According to Jesus, it's four types. Type number one, we'll call them the footpaths. Because this is where the word of God goes out and it goes onto firm asphalt, cement. There's no penetration. It cannot get in. As a matter of fact, the seed never is able to become what it was designed to become. It cannot grow. It cannot become a plant. And as it just sits there on the concrete, the birds come and they take it. It gets taken. It's like you're there saying, I want some of God's word. And you're told, no soup for you. See, there's not even a chance. Not open to being, to having it shared with you. There is never a plant for this type. Type two, we call them the rocky grounds. The rocky ground people, they receive God's word with joy. Like, yes, God's amazing. But when it gets tough, they don't make it. For this type, there is a plant, but it dies. And it dies because it's discovered that it can't face adversity, has no roots. Type 3. This is the thorn-infested ground people. They receive God's word, but as quickly it's choked out by something. Maybe it's the worries of this life. Maybe it's the lure of wealth. Maybe it's the accumulation of things. There is a plant. It does grow. The plant does not die, except that the thorns and the weeds that grow all around this plant make it useless because it doesn't produce anything. It does not produce a crop. It does not produce fruit. It just exists. Type 4 is the good soil. These are people who hear God's word and accept it. There is a plant. It does produce fruit. It does produce more seeds. It produces a lot more than what started off with one seed. See, there might be a harvest of 30 or 60 or 100% of what was planted. Now, you may be hearing about these four types, and you're like, those are not all good types. Wow, Pastor, that kind of sounds harsh. And I'm not sure I fit into one of those, but Jesus is saying that we all are one of these types when we hear God's word. We say, I don't want to be a part of the first three. I want to be in the fourth one, right? So what's the difference? Can I move? Can I change? Do I have to be? Do I get a second chance? What's the difference? And the difference is one word. And that word is expectation. Expectation. If you were to go to Chick-fil-A today, which, by the way, I heard they're serving free food for fathers today. Free food. Go get all you want. If you were to go to Chick-fil-A, you are expecting good service. And so if you got bad service at Chick-fil-A, you'd be like, whoa, something is wrong. Now, if you went to another fast food place, maybe one that has arches, you might have a different expectation. And when that expectation is met, you'd be like, I should have known better. They always mess with you in the drive-thru. Never get what you're supposed to have. We have expectations. And when it comes to expectations, it changes things. You see, we want to ask the question, what are you expecting? What's your expectation when you hear God's word? And why is expectation the difference? And it is because you get out of it what you bring to it. See, as humans, our perception and what we get out of something is in direct proportion to our expectation of it. If you expect to fail, guess what? You might fail. If you expect to win, guess what? You might win. It affects your outlook. It affects your attitude. It affects how you approach things. You know, we have an expectation that we place on relationships. We have an expectation we place on our jobs, on our finances, on our kids, on our dads. And when expectations are met, we change our expectations. But generally, we have expectations that affect what the outcome is. Now, it affects what we're looking for. You see, when you came to church today, what were you expecting? Maybe it's not your choice to be here today. Someone forced you to be here. It's an obligation. You don't want to be here. I'm here against my will. I just want to get this over with. And when's brunch? And if we don't get in the line soon, we're going to be waiting for 2 hours to get to lunch. Maybe you're just here and you're looking at everything that's wrong with this place. No one talked to me. It smells funny in here. Why do they have all those screens on it? I can't see. There's a light in my eye. You look at everything that's wrong. That coffee tastes horrible today. The donuts, I didn't have my donut. Well, guess what? When it comes to hearing God's word today, you're probably right now a type 1, a footpath. You see, the seed of God's word's being sprayed. but you're not going to get any of it. It's just going to be taken from you. You will get nothing out of it because your expectation of coming today classifies you. I'm like, well, Pastor, I'm not expecting that. Like, no, actually, maybe you came today and you're happy. You're like, yay, God. And when it comes to the things of God, all you can think in your head is the song, Everything is Awesome. When Jesus is in your life, everything is awesome. And then it isn't, and I'm not sure why. And the pastor said something I don't like. And that person offended me. And I don't stand up for what I believe. And I'm not so sure about this God thing. Everything's not so awesome. See, if what happens to you in your life dictates your relationship with God and where you're at, that there's a point you're on a high and it's like, yeah, and then you're a low, it's like, God, you're horrible. You're probably a type two. Type two, rocky ground. The seed of God's words, there you will grow, but then you'll wither and die because you lack commitment, you lack roots. Your expectation. Now, how's it classified even coming into church today? Like, maybe you expected everything to be just right and everything is going just wrong. Maybe you got a phone call on the way in here like, I can't even think about singing today. You lack commitment, you lack roots. Not even sure I showed up today. Or I show up and it's awesome, I show up and it's not. It's what I expected, it's not what I expected. Oh, that person's speaking today? Rocky ground. Your expectation classifies you. But maybe you came today and you're ready. You like your church a lot. You're ready for this. You're happy. You got the sticker on your car that says Focus Church. You're like, yeah, I'm in. And you're like, ready. Like, I love my church. And squirrel, that there's things in your life that you're like, I want to stay focused on the things that got squirrel. I really, really want to grow in God and yes, and everything my church stands for. We're going to do something. I wear the shirt. Squirrel. Saying like, what could be squirrel? You know what? If you got something in your life that takes your attention, your focus away from God, and that messes things up, that you're hearing God's word, but you're thinking, I'm worried about not being able to make it. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about a parent. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my move. I'm worried. That's all I can think of. It's squirrel. It takes your focus off and changes your expectation that you're like, I have good intentions. I'm following Jesus, squirrel. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's like, my kids' sports, man, I want to be a good dad and I want to invest in my kids' sports. And I squirrel! Like, oh, I have to make a choice. Is it church or sports? And what kind of message are we giving our kids? You get out of it what you bring to it. Maybe it's about making sure you're earning the money. You're gaining the wealth and doing everything that you can to be a hard worker because you want to make up for what you didn't have before. That can be something that a squirrel takes you away. See, maybe you chose to be here today and you're like, but I could have been on the river. I could have been on the lake. And the weather's awesome today, but I gotta go to church. Maybe you are here physically, but maybe you are not mentally here. That you're already thinking about the next thing. And that means that as we approach God's word here today, you are a type 3. Type 3, thorn-infested ground. that you have distractions, that and what's going to happen is that, yep, you will grow. You will become a plant. You are in ground. It's going to grow up. But you're going to be ineffective in producing fruit for your purpose. We all have a purpose in our relationship with God. We have a mission of what we're supposed to be doing and what is the most important thing. But if we constantly have distraction that keeps our focus away, it's one of the reasons why we have our name, Focus Church. We're focused on keeping the main thing the main thing. We help people find God's place in their life. But if we are distracted, then we're type three. And as we approach God's word, it's not going to amount to anything in our life. It's not going to change us. You see, your expectation that you bring here today, it classifies you. But maybe you came to church, even today, expecting, ready to be challenged. You're like, yes, we're going to go into God's word. Yes, it's going to change me. God, do something in my life. I can't wait to praise you. I can't wait to worship the God of the universe. I come expecting. I pray expecting. I give expecting. I learn. I challenge by God's word. I read. I hear expecting. Well, not only will the seed become a plant, but it's going to do what it was designed to do, to produce more seeds, that produces more plants, that produces more seeds, that produces more plants, that keeps on going. And Jesus describes that the people of this type, type four, the good soil, says that the harvest is going to be great, even 30, 60, 100 times more. It goes way beyond one seed. Your expectation, it classifies you. So what do we do with this word? Because you may be like, oh, Pastor, you stepped on my toes today. Like, I'm getting a little offended. Or you put me into a category, and I don't want to be in that category. Do I have to stay in that category? No. Because remember, this is the key of which category this is about expectation. What do you expect when you hear God's word? And this goes to not just all time, but every time. Every time we approach God's word. So whether that's coming to church, where we're going to be presented with God's word, whether that is reading on our Bible Plan app. I mean, if you go into your Bible Plan app and your goal is to keep your streak alive, that's probably the wrong expectation. If you're going in there just because someone else is watching whether or not you did it that day. No, if you're just, hey, you live for the checkbox. Hey, no, every time we go to God's word, we need to expect God speak to me, God change me, God grow me, and immediately we become type four good soils, and God can use us, God can change us. You don't have to be, but it all comes down to expectation. So if we were going to resolve today to change what we do and how we approach God's word, our resolution might look something like this. It's in the blue box on your notes. And it says that I expect to be challenged and changed when I hear God's word. I expect it. About a week and a half ago, we took our pastors, our leaders, almost 20 people, to a conference in Minnesota near Minneapolis. It's called the River Valley Conference. And a good portion of the group has never been before. This is something that our church leadership does every year. We go to this two-day conference. And so those that have been were talking beforehand to the people who were going for the first time. They said, wow, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. The music's going to be great. You're going to be inspired. You're going to be encouraged. God will speak to you. God will give direction in your life. And so people came from our team into this conference with a high expectation. And as soon as the first moment of the conference started, our team, as we watched them, we had 20 people all in a row. Shalee and I are just watching everybody. They're like all in, like, yeah. They were clapping. They were singing. They were jumping. They were all in. And I'm thinking, wait a second. They're acting different. And what they're praising God to, that song, I'm pretty sure that's a brand new song that no one's ever heard before. And yet, They were excited. And as the service goes on, when it comes time to worship, every one of them, they had their hands raised to God, their eyes closed, they're singing with all their might. Again, I'm looking at the song. It's a brand new song. We've never even sung this song before, and yet they were singing all the words to it, and they were engaged. We had speakers who came up and spoke and challenged us and encouraged us, inspired us. And every single one of them, they're taking notes. They're writing in their phones. They're writing in their notebook that they got. I'm like, wow, what was different? We got to the end of the first day. We gathered everybody together in the hotel lobby. We talked about what we learned, what we experienced. And then we talked about, what did God do? One of those reports, Pastor Aubrey shared last week in her message, that she was sharing that she wanted to come to the River Valley Conference and she needed God to speak to her, and give her direction on some things. And she shared that she asked her mom to help pray with her, and then she said she showed up, and she's like, within the first song, God began speaking to her. And she was excited because she's like, I thought that would happen later on, but wow, I was praying for it, I asked for it, and it happened. And Shelly and I took the time to talk with the team as they were sharing just how God moved in their hearts and how God ministered to them and how they felt changed and God, what God was calling them to do and to be. We pointed out that this was just another church service. And if there was ever a moment for us to not feel comfortable, it was at this particular conference because it's all different and it's loud and there's a bunch of screens and graphics and there's speakers we've never heard of before and there's songs we've never sung before. And if there's ever a reason to fold our arms up and just stand there, that was the time. But the difference and what they got out of it was what they put into it. They had an expectation. I am going to praise God. I am going to worship God. I am going to be challenged by His word. I'm going to learn. God is going to meet with me. I'm going to hear from God. God is going to hear my prayers. And they had this expectation. And it changed everything for them. And my thought ever since then was, what if we all changed our expectation as we came here? That when we came here, that it didn't matter if it was hot or cold, or who was leading worship or who wasn't, or if Pastor had an illustration or not. Did it matter because we came expecting God to hear our prayers, expecting to worship, expecting to pray, expecting to give, expecting to be challenged and changed by God's word. Expectation is the difference when it comes to change and when it comes to growth. And let me just tell you that when we have an expectation for something, it's not just something we say like, I plan on it being different. I plan on being challenged. It changes you physically. It changes your approach. As a matter of fact, recently I was talking with the worship team, and I was talking with Amy, our worship pastor, and she said, you know, Pastor, I'm not so sure that our people like our praise and worship. I'm like, why would you say that? You guys are doing an awesome job, right? Well, I tried to encourage her because many of you on your connection cards, you write down that your favorite thing about Focus Church is the music. She's like, I find that hard to believe. She said, I look out in the audience and I got people with folded arms. I got people with death grips on the chair in front of them and they're stoic. And yet they're the same ones who say, I love the music at Focus Church. But we can't tell. Can't tell. You see, when we have an expectation, it will show, it will manifest itself physically in what we do and how we approach things. It will change everything about what we get out of it. And what if we approached every time we came across God's word with an expectation of God, change me. we get to go into category 4. And God gets to use us to produce fruit 30, 60, 100 times. So, what does a preacher really want besides getting up and facing their fear of public speaking? They want what I heard yesterday. Yesterday, performing a wedding for someone in our church, and afterwards talking with them and congratulating them. And he shared a part of his journey of his life. And he said this to the person that was with me, that was in the conversation. He said, "My pastor has been telling me that I need to hear from God and I need to obey and I need to shorten the distance in between. And I've been working on that because I've been putting like a mile between hearing from God and obeying." He's like, "But I'm getting closer. I'm shortening that distance. I really feel challenged, and I think I'm a different person today than I was a year ago." You see, all we really want is for you to listen and do it. Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He said, "Blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Let it change you. Be challenged. Grow. Be a type 4 good soil." Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God for a moment. God, thank you for helping us understand today that we choose what we get out of your word every time we approach your word. That our expectation dictates what happens next. God, I pray that we would take this and not necessarily be offended by it, but really be challenged by it to say, "I'm going to do things differently. I realize I can get something different out of it." Whether it's reading our private study at home, whether it's coming to church, what we expect changes everything. So God, help us. Be with us. God, I pray that we individually and as a church change our expectation of what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. God, we love following you and being with you. Help us to show it with our expectation. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I made a promise earlier on to say that if you came today looking for hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end, and here we are. Been trying to do it your own way, but you felt emptiness. You've been trying to use your logic and your brain to figure out, except it can't be figured out. The God of the universe is bigger than all of us, and yet even in his infinite power, wisdom, knowledge, he still cares about us. He still loves us. Bible says while we were still sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. So because Jesus died, I can be forgiven. I can be set free. I can become part of God's family. I can live my life not aimlessly, but with purpose, with mission. We're not talking about an easy ride. We're talking about a purposeful ride. The Bible promises that following Jesus gives us a life that we could never imagine on our own. But he's got to be the focus. He's got to be number one. Maybe today's the day that you've changed your expectation of what you're receiving from his word today. Maybe today's the day that you say yes to God and say, "I'm going all in." Maybe today's the day where you make him the leader of your life. You say, "I'll follow him." You say, "Pastor, how do I do that? What do I got to do?" Well, we got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And with that prayer, first we need to believe. Believing is a decision. saying, I believe that God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for my sin, to believe that it happened. But secondly, you make a decision. And with that decision, you say, I'm putting God as number one. I'm making him the leader. I'm no longer the main character in my life story. He is. I'm giving him the keys to my life. He's driving. I got shotgun. Say, I will follow. And it's in that moment that we're forgiven, that we're set free. We have purpose. We know that we're going to go to heaven. But we also, while we're on this planet, have a mission. I want to help you with this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to say it in bite-sized pieces out loud. And I'm going to encourage you to say it out loud, repeating after me. Don't worry, you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray with us. No one prays alone at Focus Church. You see, this is the most important thing that we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray right now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.